Speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you want to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, today's the last Friday of the month, Good Friday.
It is a Good Friday.
Yeah, and we've been gerrymandering Joni this week. She's going to be on a Wednesday, then she's going to be on a Tuesday, but now she's on a Friday, but guess what? She's here with us today. Now, we're going to, before we get into our show, what are we doing? We have a bet.
Oh, it's an annual thing. This is the third annual.
We're one and one. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Choosing the date.
We have our annual bet. So this has got two parts to it.
Annual bet on when the Nenana Ice Classic goes out.
Yes, we each fill out our ticket.
What was your date? And the ticket, if we win, goes to charity.
Yes. Mine goes to the Friends of the Tanana Valley Railroad, and it's May 11th at 2:43 p.m. So all of you listening out there, that's my time. Stay off it.
Mine
and yours is
May 8th, 6:01 p.m., and it will be going to probably the Tanana Yukon Historical Society.
Yes, I'm going to write that on here so you can't take it back. Ron will be very happy.
I used to be a board member there about 20 years ago, and there's a great. They do great things, and I love history. I love Fairbanks history, and we are going into the history mining 101 per Joni Skillbred.
Yes, but we have to do our bet. We have a bet.
Yes, we do.
Yes, before we do that, we have to announce our bet.
Go ahead.
So the bet is we pick a day and
you
a time.
You pick the day. You pick the winner of the year before picks the day and the time.
Yes.
And the loser of the year before gets to pick the over or the under.
That's right.
So you pick the day. What was the day?
May 4th at noon.
And I'm picking the over.
Yeah.
Now, Fairbanks, we don't, as this is a family program. Gambling is. This is a not well. Whatever.
We don't endorse gambling.
We don't endorse gambling, but sometimes me and Joni have to have a scrap with each other, and this is one of our scraps.
So if it goes out
and the permit on the Nenana Ice Classic is 00002, the second permit of gambling ever in the territory and state of Alaska.
What was the first?
You tell me.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. You're the historian. I told you the second.
I don't know.
I read my ticket. Did you read your ticket? Do you even read that?
I don't know what the second one is. Did it say that?
That's the second one, yeah. That's permit number two.
You're doing this because you don't know the answer to the question.
I know who permit number two is. I do not know permit number one.
Well, anyway. So
you asked the question. That's right. I don't know it, but even to the person who asked the question.
Yes. So if the ice goes out.
I am whipping up on you today, man.
If the ice goes out before May 4th at noon.
I cook you an incredible lunch on the air.
You have to bring me lunch on the air.
Like I did last year.
Yes. And if it goes out May 4th at noon.
After.
I have to suck up my pride and bring Dave an awesome lunch on the air.
With an endangered species.
An endangered species.
I want endangered species for lunch.
Okay. Be careful what you wish for.
I don't want fish. I don't want,
Be careful what you wish for there, Dave.
Sometimes I am a dumb bunny.
I'm pretty
bunny.
Creative.
Sometimes I am a dumb bunny. I admit it. Don't kill me, Joni.
Yeah, he doesn't like oysters.
Not out of the can. You were, yeah, in our first lunch that we had, you cooked us the first dinner that the city of Fairbanks had as an official.
That very first banquet in the Tanana Valley, I recreated it.
Yeah, for my lunch.
For your lunch, and it involved a lot of toast.
You enjoyed the toasting part a lot. I was just putting it to my lips and not having any, because you were mm-hmm. in the mood for toasting. Anyway, Fairbanks Gold Mining for Dummies. That's the heading of this.
Yes. They have the mining conference is going on this week in town.
And I had a live broadcast from the Carlson Center. It was great.
And I know just enough about gold mining to be a little dangerous.
I'm not dangerous. I know just enough about gold mining to sound really stupid to someone who doesn't know anything about gold mining.
So I've been around gold mining for many, many years. By a long shot, I don't know everything. But I do know enough to kind of give people who think they know something about this maybe a little more insight into it. Because, you dig the dirt and you get the bag of gold and all your dreams are going to come true. But there's a whole lot that happens in between there that maybe not.
Pat Sather of Fairbanks Creek, the Sather family. Egan family, Sullivan, Driscoll, all them. She explained it to me. She goes, David, a miner digs two holes. And I was about 13. We used to go out to Fairbanks mm-hmm. Creek with them. She goes, the first hole, they pull the gold out. The second hole, they put in a bag and they put it back in.
Well, Ron Roman.
And that's how she explained mining to me when I was 13.
Ron Roman told me that when he heard I was going to do this on the air, he told me, he says, well, I got something for you. He said, a successful miner has really good ground.
Yes.
And a poor miner does not. You know, it's all about the ground, dummy.
Yep.
Yes.
So let's overview of current mining in the interior.
Yes. There's two types of gold mining.
Mm-hmm.
There's placer and lode.
Okay.
And placer is gold that has broken free of the rock and has, through a process of erosion, ended up loose in gravel. And that's the kind that you sluice.
And lode is your streaks.
Lode is in place in the rock.
You hit the mother lode.
You have to crush the rock to get it out.
Silver mining, things like
yes.
that. Yeah.
Yes. And so the way that you mine those two types of gold are very, very different. That's two whole different animals. For a long time, Fairbanks, the bulk of our mining was placer, but now it's become lode mining.
Mm-hmm.
But our lode mines have been active since, the early days. They really pushed and made a huge, huge effort to try to develop our lode deposits back, 1910 to 1920. But, there were a lot of hurdles to doing that. And today, we have modern heavy equipment, which is kind of needed. And they didn't have that equipment. So now, we're really doing a lot with our lode deposits where we didn't before.
Okay.
So placer mining is a lot of times smaller operators where lode mines tend to be really big.
Let's look at your background. You were up at where?
Live and Good.
At what age?
I started at 18. Yes.
Live and Good Mining District
area. Yes, yes. And it was kind of, I was part of the last big gold rush because the price of gold shot up, mm-hmm. and the Live and Good mines all started, everybody started mining. A lot of people came out there because of that. And there were a couple big companies during those years in the 80s.
Wasn't that when the Hunt brothers were trying to corner the silver price?
Yeah. So during the 80s, you know, and that was the last big gold rush out there. There's still active placer mining going on, but nothing like what it was back then.
Yeah.
You know, there were several placer mining operations, and a couple of them pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't
there a couple of placer mining operations that were covered for marijuana businesses?
In Eureka, yes.
It's all cash business.
yes. And that was well, there's several, I think, people that have probably done that. I don't know of any that were in Live and Good, but okay. we were all struggling to make it rich, you know. And so there's a few things about placer mining. There's an old adage: if you want to make $1 million, spend two.
Yeah. Go borrow 10, and you'll end up with a million.
Well,
start out with 10 and you'll end up with a million.
So what I started out learning about placer mining, I learned from the discoverers of Live and Good, were Jay Live and Good and Teddy Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy Hudson's nephew, who grew up steeped in the old ways of mining, you know. So he kind of introduced me to this. And we started mining on the creek. We didn't have any money. We didn't have anything. You know, we had wooden, crappy little sluice boxes, a wheelbarrow, some shovels, and a 2-inch pump.
You were poor boy in it.
Oh, we were high grading it. and we were doing pretty good. But we were young and stupid. And his mom owned 1/3 of the claim that we were on,
mm-hmm.
with two other siblings, and the uncle came out, and the uncle said, "Oh, well, how are you guys doing?" And we stupidly showed him all of our gold.
You were out the next year.
No, we were out before the month was up.
Yeah, they're taking it back. They're doing it.
He brought in all the big equipment, and you know, he did very well there. But then we mined in a couple other places, and you know, there were a lot of people, I saw a lot of other people mining, and I got to listen to things that Rick Hudson would say. And Rick Hudson was quite a character. When he came to town, he seemed to always be in trouble. But if you got him dried out and sobered up and you got him out of town, he was kind of a, you know, he really knew mining.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl Heflinger was another person who really taught me a lot. You know, he would talk to me. He was very patient to answer all my stupid questions.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. For right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at reputationdefender.com or call 800-803-5505 to speak to an expert. That's 800-803-5505.
Show everyone your love for ice fishing. Enter the Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. You can win a $50 gift card every Monday. It's easy. Just upload your favorite ice fishing photo to their Facebook page. Rods to tackle, augers to the right winter clothes. Frontier Outfitters has everything you need. You love to fish. A little bit of ice won't stand in your way. Upload your photos to Facebook by April 14th. Enter Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
The 19th annual Easter Sunrise Service Celebration will be held on the Centennial Bridge in downtown Fairbanks Easter Sunday, March 31st, 7 a.m. This is a community-wide, non-denominational event, bringing our community together in celebration of the resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ. Hot refreshments, warm-up bus, porta-potties available. Experience a community standing together in a church without walls. The Easter Sunrise Service Celebration, Easter Sunday, 7 a.m. on the Centennial Bridge. For more information, go to easterfairbanks.com.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy today with highs around 39. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 19 tonight. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. A mix of rain and snow possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 42. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Joni Skill, Brad in here, and I'm going to read you the show that she put down. Fairbanks Gold Mining for Dummies. Now, I did not make that up. I was reading it from her notes, her paper, her printed version of this.
This is if you think you want to get into gold mining, this is kind of what you need to know before you get into it.
Begin again.
I'm going to help you make $1 million. Yes. So the first thing.
I better start out with five then.
The first thing that comes that you have to know is you have to have ground that has gold in it.
Yeah.
So you have to know how to prospect. The first part of prospecting is you better start hitting the books. You can't just walk out there and not know anything and just go, oh, I think I'll take a pan right here, because it doesn't work that way. You have to educate yourself. You got to be a little smart about this.
Mm-hmm.
So to prospect, pretty much you need a pick, a shovel, and a gold pan. And you need to know where to look and what are the indicators of gold.
Where do you look?
Well, you want to look for places where bedrock is kind of close to the surface, mm-hmm. because gold is usually sitting right on top of the bedrock. And that's really what you want. And so you have to find those places.
Describe bedrock.
Bedrock is a solid rock. There's no loose rock. There can be some rotted bedrock on
shale.
Top of the bedrock, but bedrock is where you hit solid rock.
Yep.
Yes, and it can be comprised of a variety of different rock types, mm-hmm. but bedrock is where you want to look for.
And the closer to the surface, the better.
Yes, a lot of times you can find it, you know, near streams, because streams are in the low parts of the valleys.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to pick a pan and a shovel to kind of prospect. Some people like to take a metal detector because they want to go and find nuggets, but that's usually nobody's going to get rich doing that.
It's not going to get you the results.
No. So the mistake people make when they're panning is they don't understand how heavy gold is. And it's laughable to watch it. And I'm guilty. I'm more careful than, say, my son is. My son, boy, I'll tell you what, he can do a pan in about 20 seconds. And, you know,
he's
you don't waste any time. No, he's not.
Okay.
The gold sinks to the bottom.
Yep.
And it sinks to the bottom right away. And so you are not going to lose all the gold. And
okay.
You got to understand, if you're prospect panning, you're not panning a cleanup.
No.
Yeah. So you want to look, if you're panning and you're panning at a higher productivity rate on your prospect pans, if you start finding gold in enough to get your attention. And that's, if you show me a pan and there's only like two colors, I'm going to laugh at you.
Mm-hmm. We're moving on.
Yeah, that's not enough. That's not enough to get my attention. If you showed me a pan that had a little stringer of gold, I'd be going, now, where'd you take that pan?
Yeah.
So once you locate, you know, like a quantity of gold that is noteworthy, then you start panning out around there. Where is it? You're trying to see how much is there. Is this just one little tiny spot, or is this going to be a bigger area? So you're kind of looking for the pace streak. And, you know, you have to have gold to make a discovery. You have to have gold that's in profitable quantities. If you were to mine on that spot, it's not, a discovery is not just finding a few colors in a pan. So you've gone out and you found that, oh my gosh, this looks good. And you decide that you have a discovery and you go to stake your claim. And a discovery claim is bigger than a regular claim. At least it used to be. I don't know if it still is or not. I don't know if they changed the law, but it was bigger because it was a discovery claim. And usually discovery claims are kind of in the creek bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So then everything that is staked above that is
one above,
two above, three above. The higher the number, the further away from discovery it is. And then you're going to do the opposite for your below claims.
Mm-hmm.
One below, two below, 20 below.
What's the width of a claim?
Along
the stream.
I'm not sure that there's it seemed to me that it was, a discovery was 40 acres and a regular claim was 20, roughly. But I don't remember the exact dimensions on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then anything off to the sides is going to be bench claims.
Mm-hmm.
So one above bench, two above bench, three above bench.
What's a bench claim again?
A bench claim is up from the sides of the creek, you know, kind of going in. If you think about how a hill erodes, it erodes down to the creek bottom, and that's where all the gravel and stuff has sloughed down. And you're looking for old channels, stream channels, and that's where you're going to find the gold.
Okay.
And this is pretty, I mean, this is like really, really generalized.
What's the definition of a discovery?
A discovery is finding gold in quantities where you could mine it profitably.
Okay.
But there's a lot of people that go, well, they find gold and they go, well, that's a discovery. And, you know, that's not technically what a discovery is.
Exactly.
So you have these creek claims, bench claims, the above and below. And then you stake your claim. You have to mark the corners. And you have to post your paperwork on the claim, and then you have to take your paperwork into the recorder's office, and you have to file it, and they're going to give you a receipt.
Probably give somewhat of a survey on it.
Yes, you can end up having to fully survey it. You don't have to when you stake it, but if anything's questioned, you're going to need to.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that there's paper staking, and that's where somebody never even puts their feet on the claim, and they just go out and they just file the paper at the recorder's office, and they say, here's my claim. Well, the recorder doesn't know if you actually went out there or if you're paper staking. And usually gold miners don't like paper stakers, real gold miners. That's bad form.
Sort of like claim jumping.
It is a form of claim jumping. And then there are people who fly over in helicopters and planes, and they just kick out logs with information on them, and that's how they mark their corner posts. They never put their foot on the ground. That's another form of uncouth staking.
Boy, uncouth. That's a big word for a miner, uncouth.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, if you're a placer miner and you're a legitimate placer miner, you don't like that stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's not cool. So
you're not going out and doing what you're supposed to do.
No, no, you're not. But there's companies and people that do engage in that.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a break for some bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and this is obviously from Melissa Rock Candy. The bumper music you get is The Scorpions Rock Me Like a Hurricane.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Today actually marks 1 year since Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich was arrested in Russia, charged with espionage before being thrown in jail. His sister Danielle joining the Fox News Channel.
We look for signs that Evan is okay and he's doing well. He has a lot of little mannerisms, and we just notice all of his expressions, his smiles. It's incredible. He's holding on, and he's so strong.
U.S. officials say those Russian charges are politically motivated. A crane just showed up near the site of a collapsed highway bridge in Baltimore. Crews ready to begin clearing the wreckage. A second crane can lift 400 tons. Should be there by Saturday. It'll be used to clear the channel of twisted metal and concrete remnants of the Francis Scott Key Bridge and the cargo ship that rammed into it. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports the Senate Education Committee wants to hear from the Department of Education and Early Development, known as DEED, on how it plans to remove a high-risk grantee designation by the U.S. Department of Education. A special hearing is scheduled for April 3rd. According to a Senate Majority spokesperson, a notice was sent to the state and DEED on Wednesday, informing them that they were not in compliance with federal requirements, maintenance of equity under the American Rescue Plan Act, and elementary and secondary school emergency relief funds. According to the notice, the U.S. Department of Education, in a December letter, outlined the requirement to provide a plan within 30 days to demonstrate the state's effort to resolve the requirements. And as of March 27th, Alaska has failed to provide the department with a sufficient plan to resolve the issue. The consequence of this is the state is now a high-risk grantee and at risk of losing its ARP-SSER award of $425 million.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
In the heart of interior Alaska lies a natural resource that's powered our communities for decades. At Usabelli Coal Mine, they do more than mine coal. They also support local organizations, community events, activities, jobs, and economic development for over 80 years. Their employees have worked hard to ensure a future of affordable and reliable energy. Coal means reliable power for your homes, schools, military bases, and businesses. We are Usabelli Coal Mine. Affordable, reliable coal.
Own the road. Ride on the Cooper Discoverer AT3 family of all-season tires from GCR Tires and Service. Redefine the limits of Alaska's ever-changing roads. AT3 means all season, on and off the road. Designed for aggressive performance on rocks, loose gravel, snow, ice, and mud. Yet exceptionally quiet and responsive on the road. Own the road. Ride on the Cooper Discoverer AT3 family of tires. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn and Cushman.
Aches and pains keeping you down? McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine has the only certified primary care sports medicine physician in Fairbanks. Dr. Malcolm offers a variety of treatments to include ultrasound-guided injections, platelet-rich plasma or PRP injections, and stem cell therapies. These regenerative medicine techniques are cutting-edge and can help your body heal itself. Dr. Malcolm can perform these procedures in office without the need for surgery. Don't let pain get you down. Jump back into life with McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. Call 456-3338 today.
Blaze King Wood Stoves have heated interior homes for decades. Their design works exceptionally well in our environment. Now, After March 31st, the state of Alaska DEC has currently scheduled to no longer permit Blaze King wood stoves, such as the Blaze King Princess and Blaze King Sirocco 20, to be sold for use in the non-attainment area. If you want a Blaze King wood stove to use in the non-attainment area, buy yours by March 31st. For more information, call or visit the Woodway.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here, and the name, the heading of our outline is Fairbanks Gold Mining for Dummies, and she's looking at me. It's not you, it's me.
Well, so we've gotten as far as we've staked our claims. And now we have to. We have a couple things that we have to consider.
Okay.
So, water rights. There is such a thing. It's a really big deal in some states in the lower 48, and people tend to forget about that up here.
But you can't restrict the water coming down from another portion of the property. You can't interrupt.
So, you know, you have to understand water rights and how those work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to pay attention to that. Yes. You also have to make sure that you understand mineral rights. Because you can get in some pretty big trouble with the state government or the federal government, depending on if you're on a federal claim or a state claim. And the federal government is getting really picky about stuff. So, you know, there's different criteria that you have to meet depending on which kind of claim you're on. So you need to really make sure you understand that. Then there's, if you're looking at leasing ground or buying ground, there's patented and unpatented. And what that means is if it's unpatented ground, the values have not been proven.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you only have subsurface rights. You do not have surface rights. So it's not real property. If it's patented, you have subsurface and surface rights.
How do you go from unpatented to patented?
Well, you have to go through a process. You have to get it surveyed, and you have to have a mineral survey, and you have to prove the value of the ground.
Before they'll give you a patented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead of throwing a log out there, which is unpatented, you got to go out there.
I don't think that you can patent ground today.
Wow.
I haven't heard of anybody patenting ground, you know, in quite a while.
Okay.
I think that they're not doing that today. But if you're looking at getting involved in a mining claim, that's a very, very important thing to know. State or federal, patented or unpatented. Those are really, really, the rules for all of those are very different, and you do not want to get into trouble. So you got your ground and you're all excited and you're going to go out there, and now you have to establish you've got roughly a rectangular shaped piece of ground. Sometimes it's pie shaped if it's a fraction,
mm-hmm.
You know, part of a claim. But you're going to go out there and now you have to decide, just because you have this rectangular shaped piece of ground with a creek running through part of it, and you found gold, you took a couple pans and you found some gold that made your eyes pop, does not mean it's going to be that way all the way across under this claim. It probably isn't. It's probably going to be pretty spotty, and you have to determine where the pay streak goes. And a pay streak is like a river stream. You know, it's going to curve, and it's going to undulate, and pay is where you find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where you think it is. It's where you find it. And so it really behooves a person to thoroughly prospect the claim before they
start operations.
And a lot of people skip this step, and they get themselves into a financial pickle. Because it takes time to thoroughly prospect, and it's kind of expensive. You know, usually today you would do that by having a driller come out and drill it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to assess the value. You want to see where the pay streak's going. You can, if your ground is really deep, you can underground mine And one thing I want to say about that is when it goes straight down, that's the shaft. And then when you start excavating horizontally, that's called a drift. And if you're in a hard rock mine, you will, because it's hard rock, it's not subject to sloughing, you can excavate rooms. And those are known as stopes. And so when you're excavating one of those rooms, it's called stoping. And a lot of times they'll take the tailings and backfill those. You know, so like at Pogo, they have, you know, a lot of stoping going on there. Mm-hmm. Where at Fort Knox is an open pit mine. And they don't, they pile all their rocks in a pile. Yes. So now you got your claim and you've kind of prospected it and now you want to actively mine it. Well, you better not do anything until you find out the permits that you need and you get those permits in your hand, because if you don't have them, Lord help you.
You're not, yeah.
Lord help you if you get caught. You know, they come down pretty hard on that.
That's called theft of
yes.
mineral.
So to placer mine, you need water. You can't do it without it, and you need to have adequate water. And you're going to have to figure out how you're going to get that water. And water is just as important. You can have the richest pile of ground there is, but if you don't have water, it's worthless to you.
Hence the pumps.
Hence the pumps. Where is your water coming from? Yes, very, very important. Before you start digging dirt, you better figure that part out. And I asked Carl Heflinger once, I said, well, you know, how'd you do that? Because he was drift mining back in the 30s. He said, well, the first step is to get the water coming in to the claim. What ditch are you going to capitalize on? And then you think about where to dig the shaft. So water first, then you work on where you're going to put your boxes yeah. and all of that. But water is the lifeblood of a placer mine.
And what you see in today's world, they transport the ground to the water source.
Yes, yes. We have the ability to do that now with modern yeah. machinery. It's yeah. kind of amazing.
Yeah.
It's a little expensive.
So it better be good ground.
It better be good ground. Yes. And so then you got to think about your water. You got to think about your fuel. And if you're in today's world, fuel is another really critical component, because you have to have your fuel, enough fuel on site to run your equipment. Cribbing can be important depending upon what kind of excavating you're doing. But, you know, sometimes you do need cribbing. You also need manpower. You know, how many people are you going to need in your mine? And what kind of arrangements are you going to be making for them? Mm-hmm. Because anybody who's on site is going to cost you money. It's, you know, it's definitely a business. Then you have to look at, this is interior Alaska, and most ground is frozen. And you do not ever, ever, ever run frozen ground through your boxes. Big mistake. You're going to lose a lot of gold. It has to be thawed. And there's a variety of ways you can thaw it. Mm-hmm. Most of them take time. And most people are not interested in taking the time to thaw the ground.
It was interesting when we did our show a few years ago on the different dredges. Mm-hmm. On how they would be thawing the ground.
Yes, but they didn't do it with steam. They did it with cold water.
Exactly.
Yes. It was cheaper.
Yeah.
And it was very effective.
Yeah.
But you got to have
thawed ground.
You got to have thawed ground. And I've seen a couple mines go belly up because they were trying to sluice frozen ground.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Cold Spot for Healthy Pets, Interior Alaska's largest pet supply store. Cold Spot for Healthy Pets is proud to offer over 20,000 square feet of pet shopping paradise. If you're looking for pet food, treats, toys, or outdoor gear, Cold Spot has got you covered. Cold Spot for Healthy Pets, your four-legged furry family member's favorite place to stop and shop. Locally operated since 1986. Located at 377 Helmerichs Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Back in 1912, Samson Hardware advertised that they had the right goods, the right prices, and the right treatment. Many things have changed since then, but one thing still holds true. Samson Hardware still has the right goods, the right prices, and the right treatment. They have what you're looking for. From the tools you need to get projects done, to hard-to-find nuts, bolts, and washers, to plumbing and heating supplies, and more, Samson Hardware has it. Before you start a project, see your locally owned hardware store. Celebrating 120 years, Samson Hardware.
Whether you're looking for a new custom tattoo, a cover-up, or to finish up some old piece, look to the Red Light Tattoo Studio. It's the hidden gem and preferred choice for your custom work. Black and gray, full color, and realism. Red Light Tattoo Studio works one-on-one with you to create your specific design. Call or message the shop today to get set up for your consultation. Check us out on Facebook or Instagram. Find out why the Red Light Studio is listed as one of the top 10 shops in Alaska. The Red Light Tattoo Studio, the preferred choice for your ink therapy.
Need parts to fix, yeah, count on six, six Robleys, yeah, where we keep the wheels turning.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I'm doing the six Robleys jingle.
Dude, no, stop doing that. Leave it to the pros.
Oh, you mean the pros at six Robleys? Because when it comes to trailer parts and heavy truck parts, even RV parts, six Robleys are the pros.
Well, I was talking about the singing, but yeah, sure.
Well, it does make more sense.
Six Robleys, we keep the wheels.
Thought I did pretty good.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 39. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 19 tonight. Overcast skies. A mix of rain and some snow possible at times tomorrow, 42. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Got Joni Skillbred in the studio with me. She's okay with the purple padded cell that we're in, for the most part.
I like it in here.
Well, anyone who writes the chapter Mining for Dummies.
it fits. You know, I fit good in here.
My name would have been Mining 101.
My kids would say, yes, she belongs in a padded room. Keep her there.
I know. My goodness.
Yes. So we've gotten all our permits, and we got our water, and we got our fuel, and we got our equipment. And you know, one thing I can say about equipment in today's mining world is gold mines are where equipment goes to die.
You know, when you have a piece of equipment down, you're down.
Oh, yes, you are.
When your equipment is down, you're down.
Yeah. So now you can start stripping. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple methods of that. You can strip for a whole year and let that ground thaw, and then sluice it the next year. And that's a really smart way to do it. But a lot of people, they can't wait.
They need some pay streak to pay for it.
Yes. And so they start sluicing some frozen ground. Not good. You can go back and sluice their tailings and make money. So, you know, and there's other ways you can thaw with water. You know, you can use that method. And there's a couple other lesser known methods. But generally, you know, you really got to think about that when you start getting into sluicing, or you can run the risk of really losing big on your business proposition. You can, you bring your water in, and you can bring it in with ditches, flumes, pumps, pipelines, water pipelines, you know, and all of those things. To bring your water in require an enormous amount of maintenance and vigilance, because if you ignore your water supply, you can get yourself into really big trouble. You know, your ditch can breach. Beavers can set up in there. You can have your pipe part of it flatten if you have a valve that fails to function properly. Or if you were really dumb and put that in and didn't put any check valves in, it'll suck all your pipe flatter than a pancake.
Sounds like you know from experience.
I saw a sizable mine have about a quarter mile of pipe, brand new pipe,
sucked
flat. Yes, because they didn't. Nobody knew to put in check valves.
Oh.
It was an expensive mistake. So, you know, there's those are factors that can cost you money. And then, so in today's mining world, you have to, if you're placer mining, you have to have settling ponds. And you better meet the requirements for that, or they're going to come and all the money you thought you were going to make, you're going to be paying in court.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to figure all of this out. And finally, after you get all of that, you can use a variety of pieces of equipment, heavy equipment in your mine. You can use dozers. Excavators seem to be really popular now because they're so versatile. Loaders, dozers, excavators. They used to use drag lines a lot. Prior to those, you would use a steam-powered version of a drag line called a slack line. And with this equipment, you're going to feed the boxes, but you're also going to have to remove the waste rock, the tailings. And so for every bucket that you put in the box, there's going to be a bucket coming out the other end, and it's going to pile up surprisingly fast. And so you have to plan for how you're going to remove your tailings and where your tailings are going to go. You can't just move them 3 feet out of the way because you're going to get buried by them. So you have to think about that. And your sluice boxes, if you just run straight boxes, they're probably going to clog up. There's different riffle systems. You have to pick what you want. If you talk to a lot of miners, you can find out what they like. You can get online and look. You know, there's a lot of technology involved in the riffles. There's Hungarians, and there's hydraulic riffles. And, you know, you put matting in the bottom of the box under the riffles, and that helps to catch the gold too. But the riffles keep the rocks rolling, and they keep the water boiling so that the gold can fall
to it.
And, you know, that's very, very important.
Because gold weighs more.
It sure does. So you can classify your material as it's going in. You can use a grizzly, which is just some bars that block bigger rocks. You can use a shaker plant. I don't recommend that. It's really expensive and it's kind of problematic.
It breaks.
It does. you know, you can use trommels. Trommels are really popular and they work really, really well. And then you have
explain
to
explain what a trommel is.
A trommel is a drum with holes in it. And the rocks enter in, and it's set at an angle, and the rocks enter in, and as the drum spins, the bigger rocks work their way out the end of it.
And the gold comes through the holes.
And the gold goes through the holes.
Yep.
And you have to have your water when it comes in. You have to have adequate spray.
Going around it.
So that it's washing all of those rocks well without washing
away
too much out. Yes. So you do that, and you have to check your tailings. What's coming out the end of your boxes? You got to pan those regularly to be sure that you're not losing a lot of gold. If you're seeing a bunch of gold in your last couple of riffles, you need to adjust your water and or the slope of your boxes. Your boxes need to be on just the right slope. Cleanups are fun, but they are an enormous amount of work. My advice to you is don't invite God and everybody to come and witness your cleanup. You wouldn't invite everybody to come and look in your wallet on payday, would you? No.
No.
You know, you shouldn't. That's not a good idea. And don't brag to everybody about how much gold you're taking because you're inviting theft.
Like you did. You lost your gold mine. Or you lost your operation.
Yes, yes. You know, that's your paycheck. That's
rookie.
Your business.
Rookie.
Yes.
You never made that rookie mistake again, did you?
No, I did not.
That was a one and done.
Yes. So when it comes to the business end of this, I have to say you've prospected your ground, you've assessed what your values are, you know where you got your water, you got your boxes. I mean, you are good to go. and you have calculated out how many hours you can sluice and how much dirt you're going to move and exactly how much gold you're going to get out of that dirt. And boy, people, they fall into that and they fail to remember that stuff is going to break. And when it breaks, you're not sluicing.
Your equation goes to poop.
Your equation goes, oh, right into the red. And it goes into the red really, really fast. Things, every season, things happen. And so novice miners, they forget that they have to factor in some downtime.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to sluice 24/7 uninterrupted with this wonderful ground that they have. And they're also going to have to factor in that they're going to have to spend some money on their equipment because stuff breaks. It's where it's where equipment goes to die.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get into trouble with that. They have these things that they didn't count on. The other thing that I can say that I've seen in mining that I think is really kind of a humorous thing is on the business end of it, so when they get done and they look back on their year and, you know, they want to calculate how much money they made, you know, and they always seem like it's curious. There are expenses involved in mining that don't count so that they get a bigger profit at the end of the year. And they do this, and I've always been, you know, why would you do that? But it's something that a lot of novice miners do, and they don't count things like certain amounts of fuel or certain parts. You know, they'll go, well, that doesn't really count.
Yes, it does.
It does count, but they're trying to raise up their profits.
Show everyone that
they're psyching themselves out.
Yeah, being a big man on campus.
So if you want to go out there and you want to make $1 million,
start with five.
Yes, go to the podcast and re-listen to this.
Yeah,
and and pay attention to that list of items that I just briefly went over. I'll save you some money.
What are you thinking for our next show?
We're gonna do Foutsville. Mike Gibson's going to be
out there, yeah, in Broadmoor Acres.
Yes, that's quite an interesting story.
Old Pilot Haven.
Mike is going to come on the show, and he's really a lot of fun. And Mike Gibson and I are going to be on together, and he may bring in another Foutsville veteran with him.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, so all you aviation fans, you're going to love it.
And all you non-aviation fans, you're going to love it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. That'd be a good one. What do you got planned for Easter?
Go have dinner with my dad.
Oh.
And my kids. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over at the Raven?
Yeah, I'm going to hop on over there. Yeah.
Raven hop?
Sure. I might scrape something up off the highway to bring for dessert. That was terrible.
You've been reading too much Tundra.
Yeah. Well, you said Ravenhop.
I know. You've been reading too much Tundra.
Yeah. So what are you doing for Easter?
I have some friends coming over, and I'm cooking and relaxing, enjoying. Might hit the Centennial Bridge 7 a.m. service.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I meet a buddy, my buddy Rob. We do that, and we bring our dogs, and, you know, then we go home. We have some, I have coffee and Carolyn's, and then about about 1 o'clock, friends are coming over, and 2 o'clock, it's showtime.
Oh.
It's a brunch, and I don't let
anyone
touch anything. You can bring something, but you don't touch. You're not cooking. It's my kitchen.
And I've had your cooking a couple times, and I must say he's totally on what he's talking about.
And everyone understands when they come to my house. You know, you're there and you're enjoying yourself, and you're not touching the food. I'm doing it. It's mm-hmm. it's what I do. It's my relaxation.
Do you do the dishes too?
Nope. Actually, I do the dishes the next morning while the coffee percolates. And I don't let anyone do dishes. The coffee, the dishes are done the next morning because I don't want the dishes ruining the ambiance of the evening. So it's why the coffee is percolating, I'm getting the dishes into the dishwasher and cleaned up.
Oh, there you go.
So Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Joni, thank you so much.
You're welcome. This was a good one.
This was
you learned
this
something.
This was geared to me.
Yes.
Fairbanks, you have a great weekend. Happy Easter, and I will see you on Monday.